This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to keep you connected and moving together as one.
This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. USAA Homeowners Insurance not only helps you cover your home, it also helps you cover your budget, lower your premium in a number of ways, like saving up to 10% when you bundle home and auto insurance, saving up to 15% if you've been claims-free for 5 years, regardless of your previous insurance provider, and scoring even more deals and discounts on things like home security, moving, and storage with the USAA Perks program. Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. The Fantasy Footballers back with you. Mike Wright, Jason Moore, Andy Holloway. Monday edition of the show. Monday Night Football doubleheader still to come. Lots of reactions from the weekend. This was definitely one of those weekends where we saw more bad than good, I would say.
I would definitely say that is true. A lot of injuries. Certain games finishing with 3 total points. I mean, you know, there was some ugly, but there was also some surprise greatness. That Baltimore Rams game in the bad weather.
Yeah, rain games versus my analysis were the rain games won.
Yeah, I mean, you had Zach Wilson perform very well as, you know, in the rain and the weather. You know, it's something to watch out for, but, man, how do the Vikings stop the Raiders from scoring any points when the Chiefs defense couldn't stop the Raiders from scoring in Arrowhead when people are playing the Chiefs defense?
Any given Sunday.
Yeah, the NFL algebra was broken.
But that happens all the time.
Well, it happens in fantasy football, too. For instance, I mean, just like hypothetically speaking, you know, you could do everything you need to do to beat, you know, mm-hmm. one of the high-scoring teams in the league to get in the playoffs, and then you do it. And then someone else who's been outscored by 400 points by their opponent beats that guy and then keeps you out of the playoffs. Those things happen in fantasy football,
Hypothetically. Yeah, and
I'm fine.
Mike, I knew his head bob was insincere.
Yeah.
I knew his head bob was made up. He had a smirk. He's just, it was acting. Acting.
And scene.
I mean, shout out. Thanks, Papa Josh, for scoring about half the points you scored against me.
Yeah,
fantasy
matter.
Is brutal.
It can
Last week, it was Nico Collins and Sam Laporta that scored like 60 points. This week, they combined for what, 4?
I don't think they got there.
Yeah, they might not have. I mean, we have all your reactions. Monday Punday on today's show. News to talk about. More injuries to talk about. Fantasy playoffs coming up, and it'll be a dependency on maybe 15 backup quarterbacks to provide value to their players on their squad. And then studs, duds on today's show as well. We have a giveaway going live today at footclangiveaway.com. A signed Travis Etienne jersey along with a fantasy footballer swag pack, which will be some shirts.
Oh, that's way better.
Some gear. It's all together.
Yeah. Are we going to sign some of that?
Yes.
I'm going to sign,
that's worth more.
I'm signing the ETN jersey.
Oh, yes. We should all sign.
ETN and Mike.
I thought he was going to say he's going to sign Travis Etienne's name on all the footballer stuff, but
just like he did on the jersey.
No, we have the certificate, Jason.
Yes. It is authentic.
Super real. And he got into the end zone this week as well. So, FootClanGiveaway.com, completely free to enter. and just head over there if you'd like a chance to win that. We like to do some giveaways throughout the year. It is time to get sophisticated with this weekend's Monday Punday reactions. Let's start with the good, and let's start with the tight end position, like Heaven Ingram.
Ooh. Or Isaiah Lovely.
Mm.
David Njoku.
And what would a weekend be without Scorland Sutton?
Oh, this guy was back. Cooper, yup.
Or T. Debo Samuel.
And then Rasheesh Rice.
Yeah, he was good, but it wasn't all good.
No, it wasn't.
Sometimes there's, you know, players like Clyde Edwards, who cares?
Or Patrick Mac Jones.
That's my favorite one I think I've ever seen. Patrick Mac Jones.
Then there's Jared Blarf. Oh. Man, he stunk.
And Justin Hurtbert.
Oh.
Yeah. Stephon digging my grave.
What happened?
I don't know.
Amon-Ra St. Brownstains.
It wasn't good. David Montgomery.
Oh.
Yes, and Gabe Doofus.
Gabe Legend.
Yeah.
Gabe Doofus is real funny.
We cannot besmirch what this man has done.
I mean, it's incredible. Gabe Davis,
said what if. Yeah. What if he goosed for a third time in 6 weeks?
But every other week?
Every other week.
I mean, I'm telling you right now, start of the week this week. I mean, are you kidding me? What a massacre to fantasy managers.
It's a masterpiece.
You can trust me. You can trust me.
It was this last week. Yeah, December 8th, we said he shall be crowned the Goose King if he comes through with 0 points again.
Do you think, I had this working theory today, this Gabe morning, Doofus. Thinking about Gabe Doofus.
Oh, man.
I was like, do you think that NFL teams, you know, we're late in the season, they're preparing for their opponent, and they just go and they watch last week's tape. And every time they watch last week's tape, they go, oh, this guy's important. We got to lock him down, and they do. And then the next team goes and they watch that tape, and they go, oh, that guy's completely uninvolved.
Yeah, don't worry
about it. He doesn't even catch the ball, doesn't get targets. We don't need to worry about him.
They're always reacting to just the week
just
before.
Just the week prior.
19-0, 8-0, 19-0.
Whoo-wee.
Stephon, listen, they won. The Buffalo Bills beat the Chiefs.
They did.
They won. Stephon Diggs was 4 for 24.
Didn't he have like 12 targets?
And on the other side, Gabe Davis took advantage of that 4 for 24. Took advantage of the fact that L'Jarius Sneed was lined up against Stephon Diggs, right?
Mm-hmm.
To the tune of 0 for 0.
Incredible.
He's a magician.
You guys seen the video of the guys handing out the ice cream cones?
Oh, where they never...
But every time the customer goes to grab it, they pull it away.
Yeah.
But then they keep offering it, and they're
looks so delicious. Yeah, you want this, don't you?
That's Gabe Davis.
For sure it is.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe he did it. I'm so happy and so sad.
He's a street magician. That's what he is.
I would never, ever play him, thankfully. But I also miss the good stuff by doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Other people take a different route.
Hey, I won with him in my lineup.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
That's true.
News and notes from around the league. Presented by USAA Insurance.
More quarterback injuries. Justin Herbert fractured his right index finger, undergoing an MRI today.
Yep.
They play on.
Yeah, that's fractured.
They play on.
I guess MRI, what is that, ligaments?
Yeah,
ligaments?
You're going to see whether you need surgery or not on the finger. I'm guessing he will. He's not going to play this Thursday, at least not expected to
play.
Did
you call them ligaments?
I corrected
myself.
You
took out
though.
The A?
Yeah. Ligaments.
Well, when they're broken,
yeah,
it's missing a piece, so it's a
right.
ligament.
It's a ligament.
You want ligaments. Sometimes you've got a ligament, need surgery.
Okay, all right. C.J. Stroud left with a concussion. C.J. Stroud had
the rain
everything
somebody.
Working against him. I don't blame. Mm-mm. I don't blame the rain.
No,
you blame Tank Dell, Nico Collins being gone, and the Jets' great defense, right?
And Dalton Schultz being gone.
Yeah.
So three, a defense that shuts down wide receivers combined with no wide receivers combined with no tight ends.
And let's just throw in the rain for good measure, at
yes.
least.
But I don't blame it just because Zach Wilson threw touchdowns in it.
Yeah,
so,
he did.
Nico Collins, this was huge news. Yeah. Left with a calf injury, did not return. A week after Tank Dell goes down. There are certain situations this week that have transpired that have multi-week implications and are going to throw some shade onto players you've trusted for a long period of time, like C.J. Stroud. Even if Stroud is back, if he doesn't have those two players, you're going to have doubt. Herbert, if he's gone, Keenan Allen's been a top five scorer in fantasy this year. Without Justin Herbert, you're going to have doubt this week. And for goodness sakes, if you picked up Joshua Palmer, just, you know, free him right back.
Right back to the meadow.
I was going
to
say into the ocean, yeah. like a whale.
Like as a turtle?
Like an orca that's okay. in captivity.
You free them. The issue with Nico Collins, if you remember, this is a re-aggravation. He was dealing with a calf injury that kept him out week 10.
Uh-oh.
So the fact that he already had this, re-injured it, was ruled out very quickly early in this game, leads us to believe chances are he misses this week.
I flew too close to the sun. Both almost upsets did not hit, but that one did. The Jets beating Houston.
Oh, yeah. You flew too close because you had two.
Because I had two.
I was going to say, I did put money down on the Jets because you're almost upset they won. So thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I forgot what your other one was.
Let's just forget.
Yeah, no, what?
Okay.
Who knows?
Who knows? Panthers, I would never do that. Alexander Mattis. Hey, for the record.
You did the Panthers?
That's on you, bro.
That game was so close for so long.
Yeah.
And they had it in the red zone down 7-3.
Yeah.
And Bryce Young, I'm sorry.
Dude, Frank Reich watching that game he had to just be cackling. Like a maniac.
Just his legs up on the ottoman.
Yeah.
Jeff Saturday's like, what I could have done this week. Listen, I tweeted it. People were angry. Very angry. I tweeted, it's tough to have no quarterback. It's even tougher to have no quarterback and be stuck with it. This is a Bryce Young tweet. Because I'm sorry. Like, what you need to see, and everybody came back with Steve Young and Peyton Manning and all of these rookie seasons where they weren't that good. You need flashes, people. You need flashes. Josh Rosen is what you're getting in Carolina. You're not getting Peyton Manning the rookie.
Didn't Peyton – I know Peyton threw – I think he was like one for one for interceptions. But didn't he also,
he was
like at the time, break the touchdown rookie record?
He was –
am I misremembering that?
He had 3,700 yards and 26 touchdowns.
He
set five different rookie records. But no, he's the same as Bryce Young. Look, I understand being bitter and upset and wanting people to give you more of an opportunity. And I watch this team every week. That's our job. It's not all Bryce Young's fault. People have no understanding of nuance in the world. You can have a bad quarterback and a bad offensive line and bad wide receivers. That can be completely true at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But it still includes a bad quarterback. His receivers do him no favors. They jump weirdly, like, Mingaroo. And, you know, they have a bunch of – they got Thielen, who's older, and then they have a bunch of drops. But he is missing NFL-quality throws all the time.
Over and over and over.
Not aware in the pocket. He had Mingo down the seam. You know, that wasn't Mingo's fault. Like, wide open
Mingo
for a touchdown.
Mingo was super open, just got overthrown.
I mean, you can say – you don't bury a guy completely in his rookie season.
No.
But you can certainly see the signs and say he has a long way to go to bring your team any type of situation. And you're trapped.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a really tough decision. They'll have the number one pick, and so they've got their – oh, wait, that's right. They traded that pick away for him.
They traded away for what will equate to, like, Caleb Williams, DJ Moore, a top 10 pick this upcoming year, and then 2 seconds. And you are – that's what my point was, is you're really stuck. Like, if you have Derek Carr and you're the Saints and you spent that money, you're not stuck. You can eat the money and move on, and the fans can accept that. You can't accept that in Carolina.
And C.J. Stroud makes it feel so much worse.
Yes,
if C.J. Stroud sucked this year, we wouldn't feel like it's as devastating for the Panthers. But when you did that trade to get ahead of them, you get to pick, and you pick wrong. It's like, ugh, insult to injury.
All right. Vikings injuries. Alexander Mattis left early with an ankle injury. Didn't
Sucks,
return.
Dude, he was playing very well.
Looks to be a high ankle. It's almost the exact same injury he had his rookie season. He missed 3 games then.
Justin Jefferson left with a rib chest injury. Was literally the definition of a hospital ball.
Yeah.
And sent him to the hospital because he got lit up. His
caught
chest.
The ball.
Yeah, he caught it. But right back out. Just in, just out.
Yeah, it's one of those situations where this is going to be, I know it's called chest, but I think this is like ribs. And so they'll go to the hospital. I haven't heard whether they are broken or not, but what I was reading was that if they're broken, he will probably miss some time. If the results are that they're not broken, he could probably play this coming week.
Last I saw, there was optimism that he will play this weekend.
Going to the hospital doesn't guarantee you miss, just like Derek Carr a couple weeks ago.
It also is going to be a tough situation for Jefferson because you have Joshua Pumpkin.
Oh, Dobbs is, it's done.
But then you've got Mullins or you've got Jaren Hall, and those are not confidence plays at wide receiver. So,
and they're 7-6?
Yeah, they're in the playoffs.
Yeah, with their dominating shutout victory.
Josh Jacobs left early, right knee injury, did not return.
He was limping off pretty bad. Yeah. We'll have to TBD there. Waivers will be important tomorrow.
No cart?
I did not see him on a cart.
I think he walked, yeah.
Once he saw Lawrence, he's like,
yeah, I could do that.
Tough guys.
What if they just started doing that to be tough?
Hey, it worked for Lawrence.
That's fair. He walked it off.
A cart like a baby. He misses this week. He's like, other guys would take a cart.
He walked it off.
He just walked it off.
Aaron Jones expected to
play. I'd be on the cart if I'm dehydrated.
Yeah.
Bring it in. Oh, bring it in.
That guy almost hit me. I'm going to need a cart.
I'm thirsty.
Aaron Jones not expected to play tonight. That was today's news and notes presented by USAA Insurance. Learn more at usaa.com/insurance.
Studs of the Week, presented by NFL Sunday Ticket on YouTube and YouTube TV.
You know, Jason, I was in the same boat. I saw you winning yesterday,
mm-hmm.
And I had checked in on the other matchup that you needed to get into the playoffs.
Early in the day.
And that team was favored by like 50.
That team was favored by 50. That team has outscored the other team by 400 on the course of the season. And halfway through the day, it was done.
You were going to go in.
And I just had to beat Papa Josh.
Yeah, which you did.
Which I did.
Yeah.
But he did not make the playoffs.
No, you didn't. And then the other team, I mean, when they have stars like Drake London, Isaiah Likely, you were doomed.
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
It didn't work well. The champion.
So back-to-back is not happening.
The champion will not repeat.
And I can say, I mean, Al, you're in this league. Mike, we're all heartbroken that you didn't have the chance to go back-to-back.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. You're feeling sad, right?
Not at all.
You better. You're the reason I'm out. Your team, I hate you.
I spared the league from whatever you would have.
Yes.
Yeah.
Al's a hero. I spared your bank account.
Can we get a round of applause for Al Borland for eliminating?
Hit for yourself there, Al.
Al Borland, everybody. Down goes the champ.
Let the record show I hit that button.
Oh.
Hey, good for you.
I dunked on myself. So sad.
You did his job for him.
Yeah.
After
it's
he
okay.
beat you.
The most important league, Mike. Champ.
Yeah. We're still alive.
Yeah.
Do the tears run down your face every time you say most important league?
They get close.
All right, studs this week. Lamar Jackson. 24 for 43, 316 and 3. This game was really entertaining to watch because Lamar just bounced around the pocket on every play,
which
let him take deep shot after deep shot. You know, Isaiah Likely wide open. Beckham was great downfield. Lots of deep shots. Zay Flowers was doing nothing, then he was doing everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, really had all the time he wanted, ran for 70 yards, dominated.
Yeah, I mean, part of this was the reason Lamar did so well is because Stafford did so well and the Rams offense looked great. This was really, truly back and forth. It was like lead change, lead change, lead change. Every time the other team touched the ball, they went down and scored and it was like, all right, our turn. It was awesome to watch. It was through the rain. It was with a good defense and it was just two teams really, really, really wanting to win. And the Rams looked so good to me on offense. I mean, this is a very good Baltimore defense at home, and they were not intimidated.
There are people that lost C.J. Stroud that may not have confidence in Stroud even with the return from the concussion. There are people that lost Justin Herbert.
Yeah. Boy, do I have good news for you. Matthew Stafford plays Washington.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Matthew Stafford is he's on my list of pickups in a league where I lost Herbert.
Yes.
And the weapons. He's got them all right now. Cooper Kupp came back.
Yeah, the next three is the Manders, the Saints, the Giants.
It's 294 and three.
Pretty good stretch run for, and that means not only for Stafford, but for Puka, for Cooper.
Puka and Cooper. Weeks 1 through 9, Stafford had 9 passing touchdowns. Weeks 12 through 14, he has 10. He's been on fire. Just to speak to Lamar, this is the kind of this is like the treat in the bread trail. Like the bread trail starting to like, you know, you finally get to the point where there's almost no more bread. And you're like, I'm going to stop following this bread trail. And then there's a huge piece.
Mm-hmm.
And then you keep going because this is his highest scoring game since week 7. In between that time, 12, 11, 13, 24, 15. So
those are the fantasy rank or the
– No, those are the points.
Oh, yuck. 12, 11, 13, 24,
15. So in that span, that's like an average, a very low average fantasy points-wise, 15 a game. Goes to Jacksonville, goes to San Francisco, and, you know, people just – you've got to play Lamar, but it's not a guarantee you get production. That's just basically the truth of Lamar right now.
I would agree with that. I do think that the game against San Francisco in 2 weeks, if you're still in the playoffs and you got Lamar, that one to me looks great. And Miami, because those are two offenses that should be able to keep up like the Rams did.
Mike, I think, went 4-for-4 on starts of the week this week.
I still got one more tonight.
Oh, he went 3-for-4.
Yeah, he finished.
He finished at 3-for-4 because I forgot A.J. Dillon. Justin Fields was one of Mike's starts this week. Had a big game. 58 on the ground, a rushing touchdown, a passing touchdown. Now has to go to Cleveland.
Oh, my gosh. The play.
That doesn't feel great.
No, that doesn't feel great for next week. But the play of DJ Moore's touchdown, the receiving touchdown, simultaneously so amazing, great for fantasy, so infuriating because it was the dumb play of we're not going to do anything. We're just trying to draw you offsides, which is amongst my most hated things that people do in the NFL because it's no one falls for this. Stop doing it. No one. Oh, of course. Of course Detroit falls for it, jumps off sides, and gives them a free touchdown.
You know what's funny is there was another one of those plays in the Dallas game, and it was on third down. It was 3rd and 9, and they drew them off sides. And you know how everybody reacts when you draw them off sides. What do you hope the offense does?
Just throw it deep.
Yeah, but I started to realize on third down, that's stupid. That's really stupid because if you just chuck it deep and you fail on that play, like you were calling a 3rd and 9 play to get a first down, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But if you just chuck it deep, which they did, and it was a meaningless throw, it went flying over somebody's head, you get a 5-yard penalty and then you got to go 3rd and 4. You got to run the play again. So if you had the chance to get the first down, you got to take the chance to get the first down. I like it on 1st and 2nd down. But on 3rd down, I thought it didn't quite make
sense.
Or
3rd and short.
Yeah. Or 3rd and short where you get the first down. They didn't get it after right. that. So it was like.
I'd still go for it.
I was like, you wasted a chance to get it. Desmond Ridder, Jake Browning.
Dude, the Jake Browning was, I mean, it was great. He was a stream of the week, so it came through. But it was just, it was like, how can they not stop a screen pass?
Yeah.
What happened? It was just so much of his yards.
It was Tanner Hudson standing over there on the side.
Well, yeah, I mean, what a DFS play Tanner Hudson turned out.
And there was also a 54-yard screen pass to Chase Brown.
Joe Mixon had a huge – I don't think he scored on it, but it was a huge screen. It was – what are we – how can you not stop the screen?
It is – Chase Brown is very fast.
Very fast.
Very, very fast. Speaking of running back studs, we'll get to those in just a sec. Hey, Foot Clan, this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How is it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? Maybe sometimes those events make you feel drained. Maybe they make you feel like you're bursting with energy like Papa Josh. But you might not know why it's at that level. Maybe it's not enough boundaries set up and you're just doing too much. Maybe you get less social in different times of the year or you're working too much. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin. Look, we live in the era of hurry, 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 and social gatherings, they pick up and then you are burnt out. So you got to figure it out, and therapy can help you figure out that self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery so you can enjoy it. And when you are feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to recharge and take care of yourself. I highly recommend that. All you have to do is give BetterHelp a try. Fill out a brief questionnaire. Get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch them at a moment's notice. There's no extra charge for switching therapists if you didn't find the right one. and you can find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/footballers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers.
This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. When you're a homeowner in the military community, peace of mind is priority. And USAA Homeowners Insurance is the award-winning service to give you just that. If you have to file a claim, the process is transparent and easy. You can do it all right in the USAA app, and replacement cost coverage comes standard. That means damaged items are repaired or replaced, even if they cost more today than they did when you bought them, which could put your wallet at ease to tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
There wasn't a delightful pun, but he was mentioned a lot. And James Cook, 10 for 58 on the ground, 5 for 83 and 1 through the air. A lot of people just giving credit to the new offensive coordinator situation in Buffalo for using James Cook the right way.
Well, and the way is in the passing game.
Yeah.
I mean, 7 targets 2 weeks ago, 5 receptions the last 2 weeks. If you are getting James Cook the ball in space, also getting PPR points, he's going to be very good for fantasy. You're talking the last 3 weeks under Joe Brady, the running back 9, the running back 17, and so far the running back 2.
Well, and for them to win the game with 4 total receptions between Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis, Gabe had 0, to be clear. Mm. It's got to involve Cook and Kincaid and some of these other weapons. Breece Hall, 10 for 40 on the ground. But hey,
that's pretty good for him.
9 targets, 8 for 86 and 1 through the air.
Of course.
He had a big week, and this is why I think when push came to shove, we just kind of said you had to play Breece,
even though
it was not exciting.
I was so happy because earlier in the week we were talking about, you know, who would you play, because we were talking about what a good start Zeke would be, and then it was like, well, would you start Zeke over Breece Hall? And then eventually it was like, no, you wouldn't. And then it was like, oh, shoot, that was wrong, because Zeke was the number one running back on the week, still outscored Breece Hall, but it was nice that
they were very close.
Breece had himself a very, very big game. 86 yards through the air with a touchdown is fantastic. That's the way that this team needs to – like, if you don't have an offensive line and you've got a supreme athlete like this, that's what you need to be doing. Get him the ball in space on the other side of the offensive line and then let him run.
How about Dollar Store CMC, who's almost to the CMC level? I mean, 25 for 102 on the ground for Rashad White, 2 for 33 and a touchdown through the air.
The running back 4 on the season.
I mean, his opportunities, guys, I don't know if you've seen this, the last 2 weeks, 25 and 27 opportunities. He's playing a snap percentage that is unbelievable. I mean, 87%, 84%, 87%. That's unheard of. That's every down Christian McCaffrey type of stuff. Mm-hmm. And he's the RB4 on the year, like Jason said.
I would call him the generic Christian McCaffrey. Like, not Dollar Store. Dollar Store is like the cheap version.
Right.
This is just like, hey, you don't have to pay name brand. Sometimes it's a good deal.
The medications?
Yeah, exactly right. I'm just getting brand ibuprofen instead of Advil.
Yeah, they work pretty much the same.
They do.
You know, maybe the placebo effect's better on the name brand, but you pay more.
It is.
Joe Mixon, Jason start of the week, also carried Jason to a win in this week's DFS battle, the face-off, 21 for 79 and 1, 4 targets, 3 catches. Looks great. Chase Brown getting more involved, but Joe Mixon's still their guy.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's nice to have a good change of pace back that can stress the defense like Chase Brown. Joe Mixon has looked really tough. He's been like doing the runs where you got guys on your back and he's still moving the pile.
Austin Eckler, 10 for 51 and 1 on the ground.
Hey!
7 targets, 5 for 49 should be helpful in your playoffs.
There was a play in this game that gave me ultimate hope. I watched, I was far away from my TV at the moment when it happened. It was a little dump off screen right over the offensive line, and then Eckler ran really fast.
Is that the one where he like fist pumped afterwards?
Yes. I watched it from a distance.
Man, you are so happy to do what you used to do all the time.
I watched it from a distance and I went, oh, who is that? Because that's not Eckler. Like, that was fast. All of a sudden, I was like, is that Spiller? Because Spiller's not that fast. And then I walked to the TV, and I saw that 3 and that 0, and I was like, he's back, baby! And
yeah.
Now Justin Herbert's gone. So
I was going to say, and they're playing for nothing. I'm surprised they didn't walk Brandon Staley right out the building after the game. Like,
I think with the Justin Herbert injury, they're just going to let him ride out the season.
He is gone.
Oh, he gone. He be out.
Yeah. Bijan Robinson, he scored 10 for 34 and a touchdown, 7 targets, RB8 on the year. It wasn't a week winning performance, but it was nice.
I'm telling you, the Loki change for me of Arthur Smith, he has made.
How'd that go for him?
Oh, I don't care if he wins or loses.
Oh, I care.
To be fair, it's gone well for him. He's won 2 of the last 3 weeks. And this game, they had a chance to win it at the end.
I think they did win. And then the defense led a game-winning
huge drive by Baker. And 6-7, all three teams top that division, 6-7.
But it's just the Bijan snaps are where we need them to be.
And the targets, the work, the red zone utilization. He keeps scoring now when you give him the ball inside the 5.
Weird.
It's so crazy. But he's been
should have had 2.
A top
Desmond 10. Ritter missed him wide open.
Yeah, top 10 running back, 3 of the last 4 games for him now.
Javonte Williams, 17 for 66, his first rushing touchdown of the season. Christian McCaffrey, 16 for 145. He got caught on the 4.
Dude. Oh, man. That was so brutal.
That was rough.
Can the Niners do anything wrong? Like, anything? Jordan Mason got 3 touches. He scored a touchdown. Debo gets a few touches.
Kittle scored. Ayuk had a good game.
It's unbelievable.
I feel like there should be a rule. If you have a play that is 50 yards or more and you get tackled on the, let's say, inside the three-ish, you get half of the touchdown. As long
if
as
somebody else followed up and scored on the next play.
Maybe the NFL should just automatically award a 30-second timeout for any big play so that the teams could catch their breath.
I'm fine with that, too. I'm just trying to –
You always root for that backup guy to get stuffed.
Without looking, do you guys know who the Niners play next week? It's the Cardinals.
Yeah. Oh, my
I looked.
Goodness.
I looked. I know.
I will pay $12,000 for CMC in my DK lineup.
Yeah, the Cardinals, great. Jahmyr Gibbs, 11 for 66 on the ground, had a touchdown, big run, and then ETN back into the end zone to save his day. Didn't have a ton of production, but got into the end zone. Those 249er wideouts, 6 for Brandon Ayuk, 6 for 126. Debo Samuel, 7 for 149, and another touchdown, another big play.
Another rushing touchdown in addition to his receiving touchdown.
When they've had a healthy Debo Samuel and Trent Williams, this is from Ian Harditz. Here's their point totals, 30, 30, 30, 35, 42, 34, 27, 31, 42, and 28 points.
That's what I mean. They just seem like they can't do anything wrong right now.
Drake London.
Yeah.
Best game of his career.
This is part of the Arthur thing. The 11 targets, 10 for 172, target on nearly 30% of his routes, and one of the best catches of the season.
You mean when Ritter targeted the defender?
Yeah. The ball was thrown to the defender, and Drake London, he undercut the ball.
He literally made an interception. Drake London made an interception on offense.
Yes, he did.
I felt like this was in some ways his coming out game. Like, this is his first pure dominator type of performance. He's made plays, but I hope this leads to, like,
hopefully
consistent force-feeding Drake London.
There's a reason you drafted him in the top 10 and as the first wide receiver in
that
draft.
Where did he go, 9 or something?
I can't remember.
Was he really that high?
Yeah, he was top 10. I think
number
he was
8.
This is you see this with DJ Moore and the Bears. Like, the first couple weeks of the season when Fields was struggling, they weren't always necessarily hyper-targeting Moore. Now they've just decided, like, he's our playmaker. We have to go to him at, like, 30% of our plays when he's on the field. And that's what they need to do here with Drake London.
Do you think they brought in a fantasy football advisor?
I sure hope so.
Like, somebody that, like, is a hardcore player, and they're like, what would you do? Because
does Arthur have that level of self-reflection?
Arthur does, man. I'm sorry that I've become an Arthur apologist. But, like, I'm watching.
I would like to vote Jason off the show.
Desperate times, Jason. Desperate times.
I do think he has self-reflection. I don't think he's a dumb guy. I really don't. He's frustrating sometimes. And early in the season, when he kept, just hunkering down on the, like, fantasy.
This was a good week for Drake London, Kyle Pitts, and Bijan Robinson.
The big three.
Did you see I started Kyle Pitts in League of Shadows?
Did you?
Wow.
DJ Moore, 10 targets, 6 for 68 and a touchdown, had a rushing touchdown. He's a monster with Justin Fields. Mm-hmm. They have to go to Cleveland. So your first playoff week next week, will be a challenge, but I, you know, in the landscape of injuries, I don't know if you're making any different moves. Cooper Kupp, 8 for 115.
Hey, baby. That's nice to see him it back, is, man.
Yes.
I feel like
the heroes are rising from the ashes this week.
Yeah, some of the names were, and I feel like some people got stuck with Kupp on their bench.
Yeah, I mean, it
Baltimore,
makes sense.
There Rain, were, not producing.
Dealing with the ankle injury. This was a
I think I had him ranked at 15.
Yeah, I might have been a couple spots behind that. He was definitely a wide receiver, too, where you could have chosen to put other people ahead of him in your lineup. But it's nice to have him do this no matter what. Next week at home against the Manders, it should be, you know, force him in your lineup.
Let's talk about the Ravens wideouts. Beckham, 10 targets. Zay Flowers, 10 targets. What was the target total? Kyle, you can chime in if you see it for Bateman. Because I felt like Bateman was targeted at least a handful of times.
On it. Rashad Bateman had 4 targets.
Okay, I lied.
It just seems like about two too many.
I think it was just like the importance of the
Aguilar,
catches.
Aguilar might have had as many targets as Bateman did, but...
How'd you feel about, I mean, obviously Lamar had one of his big games, and whenever we get a big game from Lamar, we'd like to project it going forward and beautifully, you know, happening every week. It doesn't generally work that way. What's your confidence level on those two wideouts?
I am decently confident. So we have 3 games without Mark Andrews. All 3 games, Zay Flowers was very good. Now, this last game, Zay Flowers, he took it to the limit. He got late into that game before a very long, like 3rd and 17, got a touchdown, really saved his fantasy
day. Got a 2-point conversion.
Yeah, on the same drive. We call that the octopus. Right? Isn't that what they say now?
What?
Oh, when you get a touchdown and the 2-point conversion?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm in.
Okay, because it's the 8?
Yeah, I don't know. I find it really dumb, but I've heard the commentators talking about it. But Odell Beckham, to me, is the one I want to talk about.
Did you hear Collinsworth use heater?
Oh, I did.
You heard it live?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It made me laugh. Because it's not like we didn't create that word.
Of course not.
But
he did steal it.
It's our word now.
He did steal it from us.
We overused it for a show, so now that's our word.
Yeah. And he listened, and so he's like, you know, sometimes things stick.
Some of our words are kind of on a heater.
But Odell Beckham, to me, looked really good in this game.
Yes.
He actually looked, you know, he's been dealing with his own injury. His targets are more downfield versus Zay Flowers. A lot of times his targets are more screen game, short game.
Yeah, Beckham's were all Willie Mays style in this game.
Yes.
Over the top of his
The
head.
Adjustment on the throw to the sideline where he was looking over the inside shoulder.
It was amazing.
Quickly readjusted because the throw was the outside. It was amazing. And the touchdown catch, being able to hold on to that and just kind of rolled into the end zone. When he's healthy.
Oh, he didn't even roll. He just kind got up on his knees and held the ball out straight. It was
so
great.
I'm actually pretty interested in him for tomorrow's waiver show.
All right, this was a risky start of the week, so I feel very thankful that he came through. But Garrett Wilson,
dude,
14 targets, 9 for 108.
14 targets?
Yeah, because duh.
Yeah, I agree with you.
This was like pure. Zach Wilson, his situation is very interesting. This was his best performance, in my opinion. Or close to it. I mean, like.
The game against the Chiefs was very good,
too. The Chiefs game was good. This one had more throws that I liked. Like, total. Evading the pocket, hyper-targeting your best receiver. There was an out-of-bounds play that, receivers, I guess, if you include Breece.
I do.
Because he's not a running back.
Sure. He's just an athlete.
But he's playing with, like, there's just no pressure on Zach Wilson anymore.
I did just see a quote of Wilson. One of his teammates said, I have nothing to lose. What's the worst that can happen? Yeah. I get benched again?
Yeah, you get made the third string, and then you become – I mean, he's gone through everything bad you can go through. At this point
– He will rise.
You're just freewheeling it. You know, just go. Just throw the football. Run around. If you have something there, you're going to be a lot better for this team than Boyle and Simeon.
And he was smart to target those players. 40% of his passes went to Garrett Wilson. 26% of his passes went to Breece Hall. So literally 2/3 of all of his passes just went to those two guys. That's how you do it, people.
Pittman, unstoppable, 11 mm-hmm. targets, 8 for 95 every week. You know, if you had him, Jason,
it wouldn't matter.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it would have. I would have been in the playoffs.
Oh, that's a great point. You lost that one game because you didn't trade for him.
Correct.
We said that our game would determine the playoffs, and it was a 5-point game.
And it did. Yeah. And had I played Gabe Davis, I'm in.
Just remember that. He takes and he takes and he takes. Rashee Rice, 7 for 72 and a touchdown. He did fumble. You know, it's the Rice and Kelce show because the other wide receivers are so incompetent, it's embarrassing. Let's do the 2-3 minute.
Sure.
To me, the way Mahomes and Reed reacted to what transpired was an embarrassment. I find it to be ridiculous that the level of whining and complaining that they did after that game when Kadarius Toney basically lined up with the Buffalo Bills on that play, especially because the Chiefs have been the recipient of so many benevolent calls over the course of the last 5 years, that to me their reactions came across as a coach and a player that is not accustomed to anything going wrong ever for them. And like, they still could have made plays to win the game after that. Like, there was still a lot more that could have been done. I just found the play to be ridiculous. Like, the truth is Kadarius Toney lined up egregiously offsides, and just take it. Just accept it.
Yeah, his foot was basically where the ball was, which is not where you're supposed to be. I have seen no one on the Chiefs side outside of like Chiefs diehard fans. Everyone is like, this was the right call, blah, blah, blah. I can actually sympathize with the Chiefs here. I agree that they're whiny. I mean, they're super whiny. Afterwards, you're supposed to do the like.
They're going to have. There's going to be consequences for their behavior.
Sure, that neither one of them will care about. But the situation is one where it didn't really affect the play. There's holding on every single play. There's holding on the offensive line, or you know, every single play. You call the egregious ones, and this was an egregious. You know. Lining up of this was clear and obvious. He did line up in the wrong spot. That's fine. That's fine. But this is not.
He was ahead of the ball by almost a foot.
But it's still not a very often called thing. Do you know the last time the Chiefs had an offensive offsides called? Do either of you know?
No.
1995.
Yeah, it is a very rare.
I'm just saying, like, and it didn't affect the play. It's not why the play worked. So I get being upset where it's like, oh my gosh, really? Like, the guy was – he stepped over to – and you rob a great play. It was correct. He was offside.
The play was unbelievable.
You throw the flag, I'm fine with that. But I'm also fine getting upset about it. You do this miraculous play, and you have something that didn't really affect it, that hasn't been called since 1995, whatever. You move on, but you're allowed to gripe. You're allowed to be like, we were robbed of a great play.
Yeah, my take on it was putting yourself in that position of – like, at that point, had Mahomes seen the tape? Had Andy Reid seen, like, the snapshot of how bad he was offsides? Probably not. And in that moment, they felt like they had gotten jobbed by the referees. Yeah. And when you're talking to people in the heat of competition right at the very end, and you feel like you got hosed, you're going to be real, real mad. So this is what we want. Like, that's why there's press conferences. If you're talking to these people in the heat of the moment, then you're going to get reactions like this. I'm guessing they woke up this morning and they're going to look at it and go, ah, crap.
The press conference
doesn't bother me. What bothered me was that Patrick Mahomes.
Well, had when he was to be, talking to Allen?
No, he had to be, you know, held back by his teammates because he was cursing the referee out and coming running at the referee. His like on field behavior is the stuff that's going to get the most criticism from the league, because, you know, that's not acceptable no matter who you are. You know, we don't accept it if it's anybody on any team going at a referee five plays later. You know, it wasn't like he was doing it right then. It was like, okay, the rest of our drive didn't work out, and now I'm going to come at the referee. I don't know. I just didn't find it becoming.
I think the actual takeaway that is actually actionable, and you can go forward and say, this is how we fix this problem, is get Kadarius Toney off the field.
Yeah.
That dude is a boneheaded. He just makes mistakes nonstop that hurt your team.
It's
that whole wide receiver core has ruined this season for Patrick Mahomes. MVS should have won a game for them.
Yeah.
Toney should have won a game for them.
Should have won probably two or three. Like, he's dropped everything.
Wide receivers line up offsides all the time. But you look over yeah. at the ref and you give them the thumbs up. Yep. Am I good? And they go, no, you need to move back.
That's right.
And
did you see the replay where he was looking? I mean, he couldn't. Like,
I was going to say that I don't think Tony looked.
Oh, he couldn't have looked. He had the back of his helmet towards that ref the entire time.
So, yeah, that's on the player. Yes, Andy Reid is correct that refs give warnings. They give a warning if you ask them. Like, hey, am I offside? But if you're not going to ask, the ref's just going to be, okay.
That ref could have been doing jumping jacks, and Kadarius Tony would not have seen him.
Yeah, I think those are all fair thoughts on the situation.
It's unfortunate.
Definitely fine to be upset about it. Just thought it went over the top.
Sure. Yeah.
Evan Engram.
Goodness
gracious. I was
hungry
for more, and I am full. 11 for 95 and two touchdowns. Evan Engram, it just made sense, right? You're losing Christian Kirk. You're facing a pass rush. You're in weather. This is setting up. Like, there are players right now that are emerging that were last year's stars at the end of the year. Evan Engram was one of them.
Yep, Evan Engram.
McKinnon was one of them. Yeah.
And the spot start, I know he didn't have a great game, but Zay Jones finished the game with 29 total yards. Do you guys know how many targets he had?
I don't, actually.
14.
Yeah, okay.
David Njoku. had I played him, I would have beaten Al this week in our meaningless matchup. 6 for 91 and two touchdowns. 8 targets. Jason, you had confidence in him, and he performed. And he has got the juiciest schedule. I mentioned that when I traded for him in our league of record at the deadline. I loved the schedule. It was all green lights. I mean, Chicago, Houston, New York, those are three vulnerable teams the rest of the way to the tight end.
Yeah, great options for tight ends. And Joe Flacco was named the starter for the rest of the season.
Which is such the right call.
It is great news for David Njoku and Amari Cooper both.
Did you see Amari Cooper's targets? He had a ton.
Yeah. You've got a competent quarterback.
I want to see that number again. So I thought it was 14 targets. The most Amari Cooper has had on the year by 3.
So Joe Flacco had over 300 passing yards. Just want to make sure I'm looking here. Deshaun Watson has never had 300 yards as a Brown.
No, I mean, we did say, like, there's a chance this is the best situation for this team, better than Watson, because he can throw the football.
And he's looked okay.
You know what's crazy?
He's kind of like late Carson Palmer-ish to me. Like,
all right,
not mobile. Flacco looks a little bit bigger than he used to look.
What blows me away is there were three plays that I can remember from this game where the pocket started collapsing and he rolled out. He ran and on the move made a great pass. I don't feel like I've seen Flacco do that in 9 years. Like,
as long as it's right.
Right. Yeah, that's fair. It was to the right every time.
Isaiah Likely, Hunter Henry, George Kittle, Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts played the most snaps. Had the highest snap percentage, the most routes run on the team.
Nice. 3 catches, but 57 yards on a touchdown.
Yeah, it was nice to see. All right, that's it for the studs. Thanks to NFL Sunday Ticket on YouTube and YouTube TV for sponsoring this segment. NFL Sunday Ticket is now just $79 for the rest of the 23 season when bundled with YouTube TV, so you can pick up the rest of the season.
All right.
Sign up now at youtube.com/fantasyfootballers. Lowest price on YouTube TV with the base plan. Rest of the 2023 season. Terms and embargoes apply. No cancellations.
Pooped in his big boy pants.
There were a lot.
There's doo-doo everywhere.
So let's not be like overemphasizing the negative. Let's just talk about players we think have long-term issues on their hands. And so, you know, Jalen Hurts is at the top of the list. It's been
no long-term issue here.
No.
No passing, no rushing touchdowns. That's crazy.
It seemed impossible for Jalen Hurts.
They scored no offensive touchdowns, right?
Correct.
Patrick Mahomes. Here we are again.
Now, Patrick Mahomes is worth worrying about, but we've been worried about him since like week 4. So I think this is just the same old, same old.
14 fantasy points a game since week 8.
Well, just look at what the Chiefs are scoring, okay? They scored 17 points this week. They scored 19 points last week. 31 3 weeks ago. That's great. That, you know, and he was okay. The week prior, 17. The week prior, 21. The week prior, 9. I mean, this isn't a team that's putting up 30-plus points regularly, hardly at all. And so their defense is good, and a lot of those games have still been wins. So this is absolutely a concern. When you don't have the wide receiver core that can aid you, and Travis Kelce is looking, 10% slower than he did last year, this is what you're going to get. You're going to get quarterback 8 type of performances, which is okay, but not great.
How would that play have been scored?
I wondered the same thing. I don't think anyone gets a passing touchdown.
No,
right?
It becomes a rushing touchdown, I believe.
Yeah, so you get passing yardage to Kelce.
Yes.
And then rushing totals for Tony?
I think so, yeah.
I think that's
and
it.
Nothing for Kelce for the pitch.
Correct.
And nothing for Mahomes for the pass.
Correct.
Well, he has the completion
passing
and gets
to Kelce.
He gets
right,
the,
but not a
Kelce's
passing
yard.
Touchdown?
No.
No.
Interesting.
Oh, my goodness
gracious. Give the floor to Mike. Jared Goffel.
Dude. Jared Goff was awful. Amon-Ra St. Brown, that was another one of those. How is this possible? How is that player having such a bad game? But that was an embarrassing performance against a division rival. And, I want to ask you guys, what is this team? Are they really a contender? Because they keep
on certain weeks,
they
have flip-flopping.
I think their defense has really gone downhill, and this is a team that I believe is much better to play from a lead on offense when they can bully you with the offensive line, play more David Montgomery ball. Like, this was a Jahmyr Gibbs, we're coming from behind type of offense.
Given up 26 or more points in 5 straight weeks.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, and that's not how their offense is built. So when their defense is sucking, their offense is worse, not better.
I expected them to get it going. I mean, they did this exact game script against Chicago a few weeks ago, came back and won the game, and they just never got it going. No Laporta, no Amon-Ra.
Yeah.
No home crowd this time around.
Right, right.
To carry them on to victory. But this was easily the worst game of Amon-Ra for ever. I mean, 21 yards.
Nasty drops.
But it just another quarterback with questions moving forward, because you can't. It's not guaranteed. Mike and I, once again, I mean, we threw the shade on Zach Moss. Jason,
Jason's
loves him.
Guy.
My dude, man. I can't believe that he's looking
he's
not a great running back.
He's been garbage for 2 weeks.
Jason, we know what happened.
The PEDs ran out, man. We do know what happened.
What if it's necessary for Zach Moss? Maybe he needs you to not believe in him.
Yeah, then I am all in.
Is
on
that his
Zach
superpower?
Moss.
It's like the reverse Tinkerbell situation.
Then
right?
I am
right. Yeah, yeah.
Then I am not worried about my dude Zach Moss.
Who's you're trying to
great.
Kill him.
He's gonna be great the rest of the season. Make sure he's in your lineup. He's so good, man. Contact balance, soft hands.
I don't think people agree with you.
Oh man, such a shame.
DeAndre Swift, miserable performance
super
for DeAndre Swift.
I mean, pretty disappointing for most Eagles.
Miserable for Keaton Mitchell and Gus Edwards, because all the scoring was through the air. This was the inverse of why, like, Gus was scoring on a regular basis, and that's why Lamar wasn't doing well.
100%.
It just flipped the other direction. Mitchell also had, more snaps than Gus Buss.
Justice Hill is still it's funny, because when you care
Captain.
About, when you care
Captain
about
Captain Justice Hill.
I believe it. When you care about fantasy football and you're a box score watcher, you think Justice Hill's not really he's not really involved, because he's not doing anything.
Because he's not involved.
But he's super involved. Like, he's.
I mean, being on the field.
That's what I mean. It seems like, this is a two-way timeshare between Keaton Mitchell and Gus Edwards. No. The leader is Justice Hill.
This week he was. He was on the field for 42% of the snaps, and he saw 2 targets.
Exactly.
That was his only opportunities. He's there.
He's just there to ruin
things. Pumping up the offense.
Wide receiver duds, Amon-Ra, we talked about it. I think you shake it off. He does have to play Denver, Minnesota, Dallas. It's not the way Denver and Minnesota's defenses are playing right now, and then Dallas is a great defense. You just keep playing him, but those are not home run situations.
I was going to bring that schedule up for Goff, because Goff to me is someone that I'm fine if you want to move on from with that upcoming schedule. I don't want to hold on to Jared Goff and have him ruin my playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, Stafford could be in consideration there.
What about Joe Flacco or Jake Browning?
Not Browning.
Not Flacco.
Okay.
We sure?
I'm going to have to look at the schedule.
Mike Evans had 6 targets, just 1 catch.
Oh, man.
Don't worry about this one.
No,
the targets were there. He also caught a touchdown pass. He just put his hand down a millisecond.
Millimeter. I mean, it was, yeah, I guess that would be milliseconds.
just before his second foot.
Such a good catch.
He'll be fine, and they're fighting for a playoff spot.
They're in right now, right?
I think I believe they're leading the division.
6-7, 6-7, 6-7, 1-whatever.
Who's the put those teams in order. Who's the actual best teams in your mind between the 3, 6, and 7? Falcons, Saints, and then Tampa Bay.
I would go Tampa Bay, Falcons, Saints, which I believe is how the actual division breakdown
is. That's right.
You don't think the Saints are the best team?
No, I think they're the worst of the three.
Okay. Ja'Marr Chase, 3 for 29 on 4 targets.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing you could do. We've seen this with Garrett Wilson. You're not going to have guaranteed great games always when you've got a backup quarterback. But
well, it's
still
4 targets.
So this is a story, guys. This is the kind of story that has a man leaving town in the offseason, in my opinion. Stephon Diggs, 11 targets, 4 for 24, had a couple drops. First 9 weeks, normal Stephon Diggs. 8 catches a game, 93 yards a game.
He was awesome.
From week 10 on, which is a long run now, 4 receptions and 39 yards a game. I don't think Stephon Diggs plays for the Bills next year.
3 of the last 4 games, he has not hit 5 fantasy points in half PPR. That is absolutely insane. Now, you got 11 targets. You had Snead on you, and that is a great matchup. I believe he played the majority of snaps on Diggs, and I want to say he gave up 3 total yards to him. Like, he shut him down. But he's been doing that to everyone, all these great wide receivers. So it feels
Dallas
like a trend.
Next week.
Oh, man. I mean, what do you do? You're not
they're
going
at home
to bench. You're
not
play going to bench.
We know what we do. Play Gabe Davis.
The Goose King, right, Gabe Davis. 42 routes run. 0 for 0 for 0. Not even a target. Oh, no, wait. 2 targets.
2 targets, yeah.
All right.
Nice.
Noah Brown did nothing. This is 2 Gooses in a row. Noah, you shouldn't start him.
Just missed on. Really? You don't want to start Noah Brown next week?
Are you guys being serious
or
making a joke?
No, being very serious. Noah Brown last week was just back from injury, goosed. This week in the rain against the Jets with, you know, obviously Stroud got injured at one point.
I guess if Stroud's out.
Yeah, I mean, regardless. I mean, if you have no catches in 2 weeks where you play a bunch of snaps, there, I think it's very fair-minded to question whether you should start that player. Noah Brown is not the kind of player that can take advantage of a defense without help. Nico Collins and Tank Dell opened up the defense to allow Noah Brown to take advantage. If he has to be the guy, I don't have a trust in Noah Brown after 2 gooses. I think it would be a very risky play to put him out there. That's my perspective on him.
It's fair.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. It's very fair-minded what you're saying, but this is an NFL franchise that is going to have to throw the ball. And if I look at the options, we don't know if Schultz will be back. So it's Robert Woods or Noah Brown. And you go, okay, well, Robert Woods, maybe he's more reliable, a veteran, he can get it done. This is all assuming
that Stroud
plays, because I'm not playing them with a backup there. However, Robert Woods goosed 2 weeks ago, just like everybody did other than Nico Collins. And against the Jets, I don't know what's better, to goose or to have negative 2 yards. So, you know, you win some, lose some on the Robert Woods versus Noah Brown.
Brandon Cooks, 2 for 37, big disappointment. Mm-hmm. Josh Downs, 3 for 32. It happened real quick, and then it was over. Calvin Ridley, 13 targets, 4 for 53. You got to keep playing 13 targets.
Lawrence was, I think he ended up with a good fantasy day, but he was not very good.
He had an okay fantasy day.
Well,
it was,
he had a couple touchdowns. Ingram had 2
late touchdown.
Yeah,
garbage time saved him and
3 interceptions. It was, I mean, Lawrence looked bad.
3 interceptions, 56% completion rate. Basically, if he wasn't targeting Evan Ingram.
Yeah, Cleveland was all over.
Yeah, 27 targets between Calvin Ridley and Zay Jones.
3
and
picks.
They ended up with nothing.
Addison, 2 for 27. Addison, he's got no hope right now.
Yeah, he's got a big quarterback problem. Holy crap. I don't know how many people listening to the show watched any amount of that Raiders-Vikings game, goodness gracious, that was awful.
Nobody should be winning that game.
It was not a defensive struggle. It was
right.
It was ineptitude on both sides of the ball.
If you're not familiar, if you are unaware, you know, we talked about this was a 3-0 victory. That 3 points came at the very end. This looked This looked like it was headed to a 0-0 overtime, which has literally never happened.
Sam Laporta, very disappointing game because Jared Goff was awful. Dalton Kincaid, 5 for 21.
Yeah. Okay, that's the question. What do you do?
Oh, I'm moving on to Njoku rest of the season. In my situation,
let's say with Dawson Knox back,
he was out there a lot. Kincaid was out there. He had some downfield shots. I was watching closely, but you know what else I was watching? The snaps where he wasn't on the field, and there were times when you'd see 88 out there instead of 86. And you know, I'm fine playing Kincaid because your options, like if you don't have Njoku. What are you going to do? Go play
Isaiah Likely.
Matchup dependent tie. Matchup dependent tie for those two.
Yeah, I would say so. Njoku looks like he's just too involved. The matchups we know are all good going forward, so I would agree there. But I am not moving off of Kincaid. I was actually really impressed that he was out there so much. You look at the last 2 weeks without Dawson Knox. He played 67 and 61% of snaps. This week with Dawson Knox, he was up at 78% of snaps. It was a bad game all around. Obviously, Kansas City's defense
led the team in routes run, so Jason's probably right there.
Well, Dawson Knox, 36 snaps. He ran 17 routes. I mean, that's returning from injury. That number is going to go up.
Sure, but I'm not out on Kincaid unless I've got someone like Njoku. Then it's a clear pivot.
Okay.
And the Muth, not Luth.
No.
Dallas Goedert, I don't have a stat line here in front of me.
But it wasn't.
But I have his name.
I mean, here's what happened with the
Eagles.
What
do you do, Kyle?
I'll
pull it up.
If you didn't watch the Eagles, you had a drive that was
four
ended,
for 30.
You had a drive that was ended prematurely by a Jalen Hurts fumble. Then later you had a drive that looked good that was ended prematurely by an AJ Brown fumble. Then you had a little bit later a drive that looked like it was finally happening, and it was ended by a Devontae Smith fumble. They didn't ever score or have any fantasy relevance because they kept dropping the ball. And to be fair, it wasn't like this was great defense. Those punches were world class. I mean, this is heavyweight boxing from Dallas.
All right, waiver wire show tomorrow. A reminder, head to footclangiveaway.com if you want a chance at that signed Travis Etienne jersey and the swag pack. That'll do it for today's episode of the show. Thank you for joining us. Good luck in the doubleheader tonight. I am rooting for a big Achan Tua performance for my playoff seeding purposes. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
For listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.